Jim Shoemaker, Frank Lacarica, and Scott Jordan are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., securities dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Shoemaker Financial is independently owned and operated.
Helping you make the most of your money. It's time for Talk Money. Now, your host, Jim Shoemaker.
Whether you're a baby boomer or a millennial, it doesn't seem to matter. A common concern is always money. Welcome to today's program. We've got a great lineup of very, very smart people. In fact, just having a conversation, Tanner says we got sharp tacks in the room, and I like that. These are sharp tacks. These guys are very, very affluent and know what they're talking about. They're just lots of knowledge, and we've got questions. We're going to go through some questions with Scott Jordan. Then we're going to dive into literally understanding what in the world is going on in our car insurance and our homeowners insurance, home and auto, big questions. Dane Williams is going to talk about that. In the last part of the program, Frank Lacarica is going to talk about just simply understanding all the things we need to know about annuities. A lot of questions, a lot of thoughts. Great lineup for a program. If you have questions, send them to Jim, J-I-M, 901-683-0989, or you can send them to talkmoney@shoemakerfinancial.com. You can find our show, Talk Money, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Search for Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker and subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate it. Scott, we're going to start with you because the questions that we've got from a listener, and I think it's one of those questions that we didn't get his name. It's my fault. I forgot that. He knows who he is, and it's a great question because I can't really tell whether he's asking the question or his wife is asking the question. It was one of those little thoughts there that kind of, maybe that's why the name I didn't get, but it's talking about disability insurance. He says, and I get it. I mean, I can understand. He says, I have, I have group insurance at work. And he, kind of said, okay, it was a good insurance. The company provided it for him. But he said, should I have private insurance on top of that? We're not heavily in debt, but, it's got the debt. He heard something we said on a program that a lot of mortgages are foreclosed on because of lack of disability. He wanted to know, should he have on top of his group insurance, private insurance?
That is a great question and one we get a lot, Jim. And I think, the answer to that, as in a lot of things, is it really kind of depends. I'll start with, group insurance is a good thing. If you have that available through your company, something you should definitely take advantage of. Many group plans allow you to buy up additional insurance through that plan. And some of the benefits of that is they'll pretty much cover everyone in the group. You don't have to medically qualify for that in most cases. The group coverage is easy to get, and a lot of times it's very, cost effective to get disability coverage in that way. But if I had to point out some of the downsides of it, is number one, it's not portable. If you change jobs down the road, you can't necessarily take that insurance with you. So that would lean toward maybe.
So he could have it and then not have it.
He could. Absolutely. There are also many times limits on group coverage. In other words, there's a maximum amount of monthly benefit that coverage will apply to. And that may not be enough in your situation. That's something that you just really have to kind of look at. And it's also usually taxable. Group insurance is usually a taxable benefit since it's a majority paid for by the company. That would be a taxable benefit to you if you ever became disabled. So
what you're saying is it's probably a good thing to have if it's offered.
Absolutely.
Don't turn it down. Right. Absolutely. Take advantage of it. But I hear you kind of saying that it may not be the overall complete solution to protect his family. In this case, as he is it sounded like he's the breadwinner.
Absolutely.
That, this would put him into a vulnerable point. How much does group insurance usually pay?
In many cases, it will go up to about 60% of your income. But again, there's a lot of times monthly cap limits on that. So that may not, in your situation, cover 60%. Depending on how much you make. But a lot of times it'll go up to 60% of income.
I think it's a great question. We didn't have time enough to prepare a lot of data here, but that's something we ought to come back and talk more about, because I'm just listening and I've got just tons of questions I could ask about the subject, because it is important. I mean, we did mention this, I can't remember, but it's been several weeks ago, about mortgage insurance and about the fact of the fact, that people, a lot of time foreclosures, occur as a result of not having a disability policy. More people are disabled. When you die, you probably have got that protected, but it's that disability that creates the problem.
And I think that's why it's important to review that coverage as part of your overall investment strategy or part of your overall financial strategy and look at maybe you may need to supplement with some individual coverage. Depends on your situation, but that's just one of those things. When you're planning out your finances and looking to the future, that's a big area in the risk management part that you want to spend some time with, evaluate, make sure you understand the coverage you have, and look to see if maybe there's some ways you can shore that up.
Yeah, that's a great. Well, let's do that. We'll put something together, come back, and get into the details with that because it is a serious problem. We were going to talk some more about investment strategy, about what that means to putting the portfolio together. But there's a question that I don't want to answer this question right now because the question came in: how do I stay away from headlines, and how important are headlines? And I kind of want to ask you to take the time maybe to look at some headlines. We'll come back and talk about that. But just the idea behind building that investment strategy, that's important, and headlines can get in the way. And so that's a great point. The guys kind of said, how do I avoid them? And yet they're coming at us all the time. But just do some look research while we got a chance here. But I want to move to a question that is really not just a question for just any of us, and we haven't received this question, but it's one that I've asked for Dane Williams to go through and just answer the question. It's my question, really. What in the world is going on with home and auto insurance, Dane? I mean, we've had claims, obviously, with the, you know, all the weather this year. We had all of the, I mean, I've talked to more people that had power lines down. They've had issues with, you know, the heat in the house, and as a result of that, pipes froze. And all of a sudden, they've got huge claims. I talked to one particular business owner that nobody was, it was Christmas holidays, literally, and nobody was in town. And when they finally got back, the building was basically destroyed. And I mean, huge, huge claim. We had some claims at the office and some problems there. So what in the world, here's the question, Top. What's going on with home and auto?
Yeah, there's a lot happening, a lot of moving parts. It seems like a lot of people are noticing it in their annual premiums, right? The increases that they're seeing going, all right, man, this is just so much more expensive than what I feel like I remember paying last year.
Right.
And trying to figure out what's the cause of that. You hit on some of it for sure. We've had a lot of weather stuff, and it continues to happen. With the tornadoes we had down in Mississippi, a state that was already in a tough spot as it relates to the insurance market in general, having more claims like that is only going to make it harder for companies. We had companies that are pulling out of that state of Mississippi already, just saying, we don't want to do business there anymore. Well, now we have this kind of stuff.
My heart goes out to those people in Rolling Fork and Amory, Mississippi, and all that stuff, and devastation. And yet, so let me, when they start pulling out, what does that mean? Fewer coverage, fewer people covering it, higher prices.
That's exactly right. You're going to have fewer options. When you start looking at some of the states across the country, I got a buddy of mine that's in Louisiana, and this time a year and a half ago, he had 20 different carriers he could write through. He's down to four at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
There's more and more companies are saying, we don't want any new business in here, and the contracts we have on the books, most of the time they're a 12-month contract. We'll honor that for the remainder of the time, and then we're off of it, and we're not having any more business in that state.
All right. You've mentioned natural disasters, obviously, the natural disasters. You talk about, what about COVID and supply chain problems and inflation? Is that problems too?
Absolutely. It's got a really long tail on it too, because we had initially with a lot of the supply chain issues, is the builders felt it, the contractors felt it. We're paying more for our goods. We're paying more for the materials we need to do the work. Labor's more expensive. And then from there, the next year, we probably spent adjusting to higher cost claims, right? Now we're having to pay the contractors more to do the work. We're having to pay them more to fix the car, whatever comes with that. And then finally, now this year, we're starting to feel the increase in the rates because, look, we weren't profitable on it last year, so now we're having to raise your rates this year. It's got a really long tail.
Well, you know, if you just tuned in, we're talking with Dane Williams. He is one of our advisors in insurance at Shoemaker Insurance Solutions. And if you'd like to talk to Dane, you can reach him at 757-5757. I mean, this is a problem. I mean, you feel it in your pocketbook, and that affects you immediately. Do people, Dane, when you're talking to people about this increase, and do you find that sometimes they say, I can't really pay that increase. Can I lower my coverage? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of like, that sounds like you're almost creating a bigger disaster.
Absolutely. It's a tough thing because it's not just our clients. It's everyone across the country, really, that's making these calls. And when people are calling in, sometimes it is saying that, like, I just can't pay this. So can you find a carrier that, Dane, we know you've got choices. Can you go and find a carrier that's going to have better prices for me? And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. Unfortunately, what we're also seeing is a lot of times they were underinsured on their home, meaning they didn't have enough coverage on there to be able to rebuild the home as it was before a loss. So having to take that step up in coverage is kind of counteracting any savings that we may be able to find there just to get them to where they need to be.
What type of increases are you actually seeing? Is it 2%, 5%, 10%, 20%? What are actually the numbers?
Yeah, it's pretty standard double digits for sure.
Double digits?
Absolutely. In our area, you know, in the Mid-South, we're seeing it to where anywhere from 10 to 25% probably is a pretty standard increase. But when you go to other parts of the country, I've got a friend I was visiting in San Antonio who runs a big agency down there, and he's not really even getting involved in shopping the clients out if they're under 30% because it's so common for them to have over 30% increases there.
That is like, I mean, you really are having to make a decision at that point. Do I increase or do the premium, or do I make that tough decision of decreasing my coverage? And you're already saying that a lot of homeowners are underinsured already. Explain that.
Yeah, well, like we said, with the increase of the building materials, with the increase in labor to actually rebuild the home, what they purchased the home for at, or what the rebuild cost was for whenever they moved into the house 5, 6, 10 years ago, however long ago, it's gone up significantly just with all of that inflation that we've experienced. So they may have the home that's insured for $400,000, but if the whole thing were to burn down, it may take, I had one on my desk last week that was $400,000 initially insured with somebody else. And by the time we got done, it needed to be insured at $660,000.
Wow.
And that is a massive increase. You have to build a much smaller house if they do have something with only
$400,000. You know, we had a claim in 2010 at the office. I mean, obviously it was a major claim for us. The building burned. I mean, the bottom line is our building burned. I can just tell you, having a good insurance company, a good insurance agent helped tremendously. But I can't imagine going into a rebuild process and realizing I'm way underinsured. And that literally can compromise what you're trying to put back together, that home or whatever it is that you've lost from that. You know, you can't take away the loss, mm-hmm. but you can protect the financial loss and work through that process and have it given you a chance to rebuild it. So how long do you think this is going to take place? How long are we going to see these rates?
When we look at all the industry experts' projections and whatnot, they're saying minimum 12 months. It could be 18 to 24, though, that we feel this increase for with our renewals. Because, again, your rates that you're paying today, you're locked in for whatever that term is. So for a home insurance policy, that's 12 months typically. They can't raise your rates, even though their pricing now may say that, hey, you need to be paying more. I can't actually increase those rates until the policy renews. So it's got a really long tail on it to where it could be a year or two that we're still feeling these increases to where rates are going up significantly.
All right. With that rate increase and the pain from that and the compromises, and aside from price, okay, are you noticing other things that are happening as far as, you know, in our country, in our city, in our area, but also that's really insurance related? Yeah. And how it's kind of they seem like a lot of times domino effects, you know, occur. Are you seeing that in this?
Absolutely. Well, it's just insurance companies trying to get back to profitable, right? So they'll raise the rates, but they also try to control the cost as well. So some of that is they're tightening up on their underwriting guidelines. Before, maybe we would accept a home that has a 20-year-old roof. Now, we're not going to touch that, right? Before, we were less concerned
about... When you say not going to touch it, you either get it fixed before we insure it, or we're not going to insure it.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And it's a significant amount of declines that we're seeing, particularly in certain states. When we go down into Mississippi, it's something where it's really tough right now. Tennessee, though, they've tightened up there. Arkansas, same thing. Our whole region here is something where they've tightened those underwriting guidelines significantly.
So is there no negotiation then, none whatsoever?
They've tightened up that as well. Previously, we wouldn't have the opportunity to say, oh, come on, man, let's talk about this, right?
As my agent, you could actually go in on my behalf, because when you talk about choices, you mentioned a while ago, you're not tied to one company. You've got choices.
Correct.
You can, hey, if you don't help me out for the client, I'll go to X company. I mean, if I'm the underwriter, I want the business. But you're saying they're not negotiating.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
We used to have, I mean, we could tell that, hey, this company is willing to play ball a little bit more than others. Now, none of them. It's like, this is our policy. We've got strict adherence to it. I can't do anything about this. And it's something to where it's made it very, very difficult to where they've just got all these extra hoops we have to go through to put the business with them. And then even if we jump through all those hoops, I've had them come back and say, actually, no, we still don't want it.
I know you fight for the client. You are an independent agent. Therefore, that's our philosophy at Shoemaker Insurance, that we're for the client, focus 100% on getting the best. Are carriers putting the pressure on you? Are you seeing yourself not able to be that advocate like you normally could? It's more like just get the coverage that we could get, the best coverage, or what's happening from that standpoint?
You know, there hasn't been a ton of pressure that we felt. We run a pretty good shop and we write good business, so that's something that's been helpful for us. But I know that I've heard from other agents, you know, across the country where their carriers are going, hey, why are you not putting any business with us?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because you don't seem to want it. You keep telling me no to everything. So how can I put business with you when you've only got four houses in my whole region that you're willing to insure?
It's Dane's telephone number if you want to talk to Dane. His office number is 757-5757. It's area code 901. Shoemaker Insurance Solutions, Dane Williams. He is one of our, he's been with us a long time, does a fabulous job for you if you want to talk to Dane. His cell phone number tells you how he works. It's 901-831-5991.
831-5991.
I got it. All right, let's go with that one more time. I'll give you one more time. 831-5991. All right, Dane, let me, the choices. When you have the ability, and I really want to focus on this for just about a minute here, and really where you can work with the client and negotiate with the carrier, to me, that's what I want. I want you to be my advocate, my person who is giving me that amount of ability to make a choice. How valuable is that when you talk with the insurance company and the client?
Well, I think it's huge. It's something to where the independent insurance agent is the biggest advocate for homeowners and vehicle drivers that we have here, because we get to see what all kinds of different companies are doing as it relates to coverages and prices. We know when companies end up changing up, look, we're offering this new coverage now, or we don't offer this coverage, and maybe you shouldn't be with us now, because we can make that change. We're informed about several different carriers, and we're able to bring our clients to all of those carriers to try to get the best rates.
Well, that's great. 901-757-5757 is the office, and I do know the cell phone number, 901-831-5991. If you'd like Dane Williams' email address, let me give it to you. It's dwilliams@shoemakerins.com. That's Dane Williams. Don't hesitate to give. If you've got a problem going on right now and you are concerned about it, don't hesitate to give Dane a call. It's a real issue in our city, in our area, and you need just to get some good professional advice. And speaking of professional advice, I'm back to you, Scott, because the idea behind headlines and questions about it, give me a headline that you would say would make somebody nervous.
Well, you know, we even have a term for it in the business called headline risk. You know, when we're looking at markets and volatility, we know headlines can cause a lot of market volatility. I've seen several recently that are kind of harkening back to a financial crisis that is in a lot of people's recent memory. I saw a headline the other day said, are banks in similar position to the situation in 2008? And that's just real inflammatory.
That's a headline.
That triggers back to, oh, I remember what happened back
okay.
then. They always use words like shares plunge, the market's going to crash, crisis, everything to elicit that fear response and get you to read. And I'm not even being critical. They're just trying to get you to read the article, or they're trying to get you to click on the website or whatever they're trying to do. But those types of headlines can cause a lot of unease in people. And if you don't have a disciplined process or an investment strategy, it can cause you to make changes or make decisions that can really affect your long-term investment horizon.
I appreciate this guy's comment, because what he was saying is, how much do I need to worry about headlines? And yet, at the same time, headlines are headlines. I mean, that's all they are. A lot of times you get the attention of the headline.
Right.
You read the article, you say, that doesn't really make sense. They didn't talk about the same thing.
Boy, and I'll say a lot of the internet sites are really guilty
of
that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, whether you're scrolling through YouTube or whatever, you'll see just this alarming headline. Then you click on it, and it doesn't really even say exactly what the headline said. But, you know, again, that's what that is designed to do. That's designed to get you to click or read. And in today's age, it's really hard to ignore that or stay away from it. You know, we have these little computers we're carrying around. We're getting these updates constantly. So anytime anything's going on in the economy or the financial markets, those news pundits and various internet sites are going to take advantage of that and create kind of alarming headlines to get people to pay attention.
I know you. I know there's some more headlines, and I know there's one that's a biggie that you just showed me a few minutes ago. I like it because it goes back quite a few years. But what we're talking about is how do you develop this investment strategy? And the fact that we got the question about how to avoid headlines just ties into it, because you're going to have to give us a couple of ways to manage this investment strategy that you're talking about with all the noise of headlines and what it happens to us in the world today. If you just tuned in, of course, I do have Sharp Tax, Tyler. These are Sharp Tax. They're very sharp guys. Glad to have them with us. You can listen to the program. If you've got a question for us, go to Jim, J-I-M, 901-683-0989. Got a question, don't hesitate to send it to us. We appreciate your questions. Always enjoy getting them on the air. Or you can send them to talkmoney@shoemakerfinancial.com. Very good. We'll be glad to do that. Just send us a good question. Let us know what you're thinking about. And you can find our show, Talk Money, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Search for Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker. Subscribe to the podcast, and we thank you for that. We just appreciate you listening. I have got Sharp Tax. These guys are going to come back. Scott's going to talk about one or two more headlines. And what about the investment strategy that you need to be making sure you're in line with and staying with? And Frank Lacarica is what we need to know about an annuity. A lot of people asking that question. Stay with us. I'm Jim Shoemaker. This is Talk Money.
Annuities can be sold with riders, optional enhancements that are available on your annuity contract at an additional cost. Be sure to talk to a licensed financial professional to learn more about your options.
Helping you make the most of your money. Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker on News Talk 98.9.
This material represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time and is not intended to be a forecast of future events or a guarantee of future results. This information is not investment advice or recommendation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested.
Helping you make the most of your money. It's time for Talk Money. Now, your host, Jim Shoemaker.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Shoemaker. I'm talking with Scott Jordan. Now, we're answering some questions. We've already answered one earlier about how much disability and you know, I should own above and beyond, you know, my group insurance. And that was a great question. We appreciate that question. And we're going to actually come back and try to do more about that because I just don't think we had a time to dive into that in detail. But we'll put more energy into that question because we think it's important. But this question that is now on the second part of the table, and I think, Scott, it's important. Headlines and the emotions they cause, and you actually were looking up some headlines and you talked about it's crisis, one word after another. You actually mentioned that one is similar, or banks in a similar position today as they were in the situation in 2008. Well, that's a headline that would immediately get your attention. It creates emotional chaos. It creates sometimes that freeze or, you know, you don't know what to do. One of the issues that we have is a quote that you actually, you know, it's a kind of a famous quote, and we kind of go back to it a lot, Scott, because it is one of those that's kind of iconic. Which one am I talking about?
And it's from Business Week, and I encourage you to Google this because they own up to it, and they've written a lot about it since then. But they're the cover of Business Week on August 13th, 1979. The cover read, "The Death of Equities, How Inflation is Destroying the Stock Market." Now, that's a panic-driving headline right there. That's a perfect example of that. And if you'd taken that to heart and let that drive your investment policy, you would have missed some of the best bull runs in market history that occurred over the next several decades. So
how do you avoid, I mean, the noise? Now, that goes back to a period of time. Well, that would have just been a headline on a magazine.
Right.
Now,
right.
Okay,
and honestly, there was a lot going on then. There was a lot that you could have taken that to heart. You know, inflation was running crazy. We had there was just a lot of geopolitical events going on. So it was easy to kind of take that and run with it.
But Scott, I mean, I understand this guy's question. I mean, you can literally dial your phone in. If you're an investor and you can literally have just that notice after notice after notice. And, you know, they don't send you the market's up 2,000% today and it's going great guns. They're going to always send you the crisis one, that one that says it's the bank failures and one that says the death of equities. They're going to try to get your attention, and it's coming at us like a fire hydrant.
Absolutely. And I think, for me, the best way that I've seen that people can avoid reacting to things like headlines or whatever's calling the fear, it all starts with having a structured discipline process and a structured discipline financial strategy. I think it helps to sit down with an experienced professional that's been through a lot of these times. But, you know, we always start with the why. What are we trying to accomplish? Why are we saving money? Why are we investing money? Is that, you know, is it financial independence or retirement down the road? Are we trying to educate our kids, buy a second home? Whatever that is that we're trying to accomplish, that can be quantified. So we have a goal, we have a financial goal there, and then we can develop an investment strategy that has a historic high probability of hitting the returns we need to hit that goal, hit those goals. And, you know, when I talk about that discipline process, we say this over and over on the show, it's not rocket science. It starts with asset allocation. You know, what is my tolerance for risk? What is my time horizon? What kind of returns do I need to hit my goals? And that starts with that asset allocation decision. How much am I going to put in stocks? How much am I going to put in bonds? How much am I going to put in cash? And then just diversifying that through, we like to choose managers that are experienced in a lot of different areas so that we can diversify, third-party money managers. And sticking with that process through good times and bads, rebalancing the portfolio from time to time back to that original allocation, that works over a long period of time.
You know, you talk about the why. I totally understand that. Developing a strong strategy. And, of course, we remind everybody that even as we talk about diversification and asset allocation, neither asset allocation or diversification guarantees against loss.
Absolutely.
And that's just not the case. But there are methods for managing risk, and that's what we're trying to talk about here. You get these headlines thrown at you. Managing risk really becomes kind of the epitome of what you're trying to do. And managing risk sometimes needs that third party.
Absolutely.
You know, that's kind of going to say, let me hold your hand. Let me talk you off the ledge. Just because the headline said something negative doesn't mean that you abandon ship and run away from the market. And that's kind of where you're talking about that professional advisor.
Absolutely. And I think that the key to this is when you develop that strategy is to understand the trade-offs. You know, if you're going to be in a multi-asset diversified portfolio, when the market's ripping and roaring, you're probably going to trail that a little bit because you're not all overweighted in the most popular things at the time. The reverse side of that is when the market pulled back a little bit, that diversification might help you out a little bit. But it's understanding those trade-offs and knowing that, hey, I need to be in the market to get those returns that I need to hit my goals. And by being in the market, I'm going to experience volatility. You have to know that on the front end. We're going to, you know, the market, I always say the market kind of oscillates back and forth between flawless and hopeless. You know, everybody thinks everything's perfect for a while, and then they go all the way, the pendulum swings to the other end, they go to hopeless. And we're kind of coming out of that hopeless right now. You know, we had swung to flawless there back in 21. We kind of swung back to hopeless, and people are getting a little more confident now. But those are just those common market swings. You have to know that's reality, and you cannot let market volatility derail your long-term plans.
I appreciate that. Actually, I found out this question comes from a man named Robert, and I understand. He says, I have been investing for a long time, but I can't seem to get accustomed to the subjects that are on the headlines today. I just now realized that was the question. I understand what he's saying.
I do too.
I mean, it's different today, and I don't know how to tell someone to manage it. It's just get accustomed to it and turn it off.
Yes, and I think you can get some perspective by looking back to the past. Let's talk about the headline that we just quoted from 1979. You know, again, you can look back and see, hey, we've been here before. This is not the first time we've gone through a crisis. They're all a little different. I think it's Mark Twain gets credit for it. I don't know if he said it, but said history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, and I agree with that. You know, when we have crises or market volatility, there's some similarities, and you can look back at history and go, okay, we've experienced things like this before. We made it through it. We survived it. The great companies of the world will keep going. They will innovate. They will figure out a way around whatever crisis we're going through at the time.
You know, it's different. I guess I don't know the age of Mr. Robert here and what his age is. But you take people, I mean, like myself, who's been around long enough. I was there when 79. I remember that and that reality. But you've got people, I mean, Tyler is younger, our producer. And the reality is, everybody kind of, it's like getting accustomed to what the headline is bringing to you at the moment. I do like the fact that you said, know your why, then have a real strong strategy, and then avoid all the noise. I appreciate that. The strong strategy really does lay out what you do when you talk about the fact of asset allocation, knowing that and understanding that and knowing how to do that along with diversification. Again, guaranteed? No, not against loss, but it does help you manage the risk. And I think that can calm a whole lot of nerves.
Absolutely.
That's a great point. Well, if you'd like to talk to Scott, just pick up the phone, call him at 901-757-5757, or you can reach him by email at sjordan@shoemakerfinancial.com. sjordan@shoemakerfinancial.com. Well, I want to introduce my next guest, and it's Frank Lacarica, and we are talking about a subject that has gotten to be a subject of, kind of a contention, but a lot of questions about it. It's a lot of ideas around, why do I need an annuity? What do I need to know about an annuity? And these are great questions that I think is really kind of bubbling up because of what's going on in the market. Annuities, as you know, have had a kind of a bad reputation amongst investors over the many, many years. And I don't know if it has to do with the insurance salesman that's doing it or not understanding how they can fit into a financial strategy. Or I think most of the time, it's just simply taking something that is kind of an idea and using generalized situations that can cause confusion. And honestly, an annuity is simply a complex financial product, and you need to know that. Well, we're very pleased to have Mr. Lacarica with us. He's going to help us understand why you need or why you may not need nearly what you need to know about an annuity. Welcome to the program, Frank.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me back. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's great, man, because, I mean, I want to start out. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to cover, but building assets during retirement is really, it's kind of what Scott was talking about, the why, and then having a good strategy. How does an annuity fit into that program?
It's a great question, Jim. And kind of what you had alluded to in the beginning is understanding where it fits is important. If you're trying to jam a square peg in a round hole, you're going to have a really hard time.
That's
with
a great
it.
Point.
So the first place I'd like to start with annuities is everybody's heard of pensions, right? Everybody heard of pensions. You know pensions. You love them. That guaranteed income for life. You know, maybe you, your parents, you know, somebody's worked their entire career for the same company. That used to happen a long time ago, not so much now. You know, but in return for years of loyal service, you know, the companies promise to pay their employees and agreed upon sum for as long as they live. It's a form of privatized Social Security, a pension is. So having guaranteed income during retirement is a powerful tool for that investment strategy. And annuities can be used as a way to privatize a pension.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And so what you're saying is it's a kind of a contract for someone to says, okay, I'm going to have a guaranteed type of income. But now, when we talk about guarantees, there's a subject to the financial strength and the claims paying ability of the insurance company that you're purchasing this from. That's what we have to, that's correct. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. And that's why you're going to hear me say this a lot when we talk about annuities. They're complicated. So it's real important to work with an advisor or a financial professional with this, because it's not just one company. It's not just one option that you have for this. There's a lot of different options out there.
Okay, that's important. I know that you talked about this being a fixed pension type of mindset. Mm-hmm. If it's a variable annuity, and we talk about that later on. It has no bearing, the guaranteed from the product there. These are variable investments, and they're going to be, that performance is what they're providing. The investments can lose value. Do you need to understand that if you're buying a variable annuity?
Yeah, variable annuities invest in funds the same way any traditional investment account would, and so they can fluctuate up with the market. They can fluctuate down with the market.
Okay, so we'll talk about that some more, because I know I want to get into the specific types of annuities. Mm-hmm. I kind of jumped the gun a little bit there, got you to talk about that. That's my fault. But what about riders? Because I know that when people call, or we have people that are talking about this, boy, the confusion when it comes to the riders is just unbelievable. It's complex.
Yeah, well, so for as many different types of annuities as they are out there, there are even more types of riders that can be attached or enhanced, you know, to a contract to change the way that the annuity functions. And so annuities are sometimes sold with riders. Like we talk about enhancements that add value or cause it to act a different way. So again, you're going to hear me say it. You need to talk to your advisor or your professional about this to understand how the options work.
Now, okay. When you say talk to, how the options work, options being?
The annuity, the riders on the annuity contract.
Oh, riders. Now, how many are they? You said there's a ton of them.
There's a ton of them, but there's typically two main, they fall into two kind of main categories.
Okay, right.
The first is you've got living benefit riders, and they work similar to annuitization in the fact that they do provide lifetime income for the contract owner. So they work similar. They give you that pension style income, but they operate slightly differently. You still receive that income for as long as you live, but you maintain control of the account value. And if there's anything left over that you haven't spent, that can pass on to your beneficiary. So there's a tremendous amount of flexibility offered inside of living benefit riders that does not exist inside of annuitization.
So again, living benefit riders,
that's
annuitization. Once you've locked in annuitization, you've locked it in, right?
Right. So annuitization is you are trading the contract value, the value of that asset, for an agreed upon stream of income for as long as you or you and your spouse live, depending on how you structure it. Whereas with a living benefit rider, you're receiving an agreed upon stream of income, but you maintain control of the account value.
You know, Frank, I appreciate what you're saying. Frank Lacarica, if you'd like to talk to Frank, his telephone number is 901-757-5757. Frank does a lot of business of helping people understand all the complexity that goes on with an annuity. And an annuity is intended to be a long-term tax-deferred retirement vehicle. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about it. Earnings are taxable as ordinary income. He'll talk some more about that when distributed. And we're talking about this benefit rider, whether it's the flexibility and the fact that it's, you know, you got a death benefit rider or a living benefit rider, all that when the money's distributed is taxable. And if withdrawn before 59 and a half, you're going to possibly pay a 10% federal tax penalty. You need to know these things. And that's what I like about Frank. He will be more than be willing to walk you through all these, I guess, issues that you need to know. If an annuity is going to fund an IRA, sometimes people do that. And other tax qualifying, the tax deferral features have really no additional value. So you're losing that benefit if you do that. So you need to know that. And a qualified distribution from a Roth IRA is generally excluded from gross income. So if you're looking at this process, get the value, get the understanding. Taxes and penalties may apply if it's a non-qualified distribution. And there's charges. You need to understand that. Charges and expenses associated with annuities. And as these, you need to know what the deferred sales charges are. Surrender charges are, these are all of them. If you're going to withdraw something early, you're possibly going to pay a surrender charge. So I like what you're telling us. It's like a pension-like income retirement. It gives you somewhat of these options. Living benefit riders, I like that. You've got death benefit riders. You just got to know all this about it. You just can't walk in and say, let me have one off the shelf.
Right. And because of everything that you have just said,
that's a mouthful, but it's important.
It's important to know. And that right there is why annuities have the reputation they have. This is not a simple a simple product. This is not a simple addition to a strategy. It's complicated. And so understanding all of that is a component of the retirement question. How do you do it effectively? Well, annuities can be a wonderful way to help accomplish income solutions, but you have to understand how they work.
And not every, as you said, square peg in a round hole or whatever you're trying
exactly.
to do. It needs to be someone, a professional like yourself, who walks somebody through a lot of information, but helps them make the right decision. That's
right.
The key.
No, absolutely. It's about fit. Ultimately, it's about fit.
When you talk about building assets for really that whole part of retirement, how does this fit from your perspective?
Yeah, so annuities can fit just in the traditional accumulation of assets bucket the same way, you know, an investment account would. You can use them, and there's a few different types. You can use them to accumulate assets the same way a traditional account would. You can use, you know, traditional variable annuities. Variable annuities invest in mutual funds, and they grow tax-deferred.
Or separate accounts, not mutual funds. Or
separate accounts. You can use those to invest into separate accounts. They can grow just like an investment account would. You can attach any of the riders we just talked about to a variable annuity and have it function differently down the road.
And making sure people understand what a separate account, not a mutual fund, but a separate account is actually a separate account of an insurance company. And again, annuities are not backed by the federal insurance company. It's the credibility, financial stability of the insurance company. Mm-hmm. You're taking a risk with that. Know the insurance company that you're buying it from.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it harkens back to work with somebody who understands there's varying companies, very different types of contracts. So make sure that you're investing with a reputable company and move forward with that.
All right, now let's cover this subject because I think there's multiple kinds of insurance, of products here when mm-hmm. you talk about annuity. You talked about a registered index linked annuity. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
If you told me I was going to buy a registered index linked annuity, that just kind of makes me fearful right there. What is that?
So they're relatively new. These types of annuities provide market upside with varying degrees of protection from loss, depending on the issuer. There's several different companies that offer these. So it's important, again, to speak with somebody who your financial professional or financial advisor who understands kind of how they work. But the gist of them is they provide market upside with some protection of loss on the downside.
All right. What about a fixed annuity?
Fixed annuities work just like they sound. Fixed annuities provide a fixed rate of return for a specified period of time. They credit interest and the length of time and interest, depending on how the contract works.
And that's what people have bought historically over the years. And now we're seeing all this other coming on board to basically compete with, you know, other products that are in the market. But they're products that are very valuable if they understood and how they fit into someone's strategy. Back to what Scott said, knowing the why. Frank, you've talked about the idea of the big mouthful, registered index linked annuities. You've talked about fixed annuities. Now, I know this third one is not new. It's called variable annuities. Explain that to us.
Yeah, so they work similar to mutual funds in which they're invested in funds that move up and down with the market. So they work like your traditional investment account. They move up and down, and you're able to attach some of those riders we talked about before could be attached to the variable annuities. So as you could see, these are just a few of the many ways that you can use annuities as part of your retirement. Just talk to your professional.
I appreciate that so much. Variable annuities, of course, have additional expenses such as mortality and expense risk, administrative charges, investment fees, rider fees, all that's part of it. Variable subaccounts of annuities are subject to market fluctuation, investment risk, and, of course, loss of principal. I appreciate you saying that. That's important for us to know and understand that. Of course, you talked about registered index fixed annuities or linked annuities. You know, they've got some additional expenses also. They're subject to market fluctuation, investment risk, and loss of principal. And you've got, of course, bottom line is, as you said, contact a professional before you make the decision to buy something like that. And you're a professional, 901-757-5757. Frank, great subject. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Well, I just want to remind you, if you just tuned in, of course, this is Talk Money. I'm Jim Shoemaker. I want to thank my guests, Scott Jordan, Frank Lacarica, and Dane Williams. If you have questions for Scott, Frank, or Dane, you can reach them at 757-5757. Next week, my guest, Scott Jordan, going to talk about fundamentals, something we can never get too much of. Daniel Irwin will be here from the Better Business Bureau of the Mid-South. He's going to take us, of course, to Scam School. That's Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. Thank my producer, Tyler Springs, did a great job today. Guest and content coordination, Francis Fortner, production and marketing assistant, Lauren Norsworthy, and, of course, my compliance officer, Tommy Armstrong. Thanks for listening. We're here for you each and every week, helping you make the most of your money. I'm Jim Shoemaker. This is Talk Money.
Jim Shoemaker, Frank Lacarica, and Scott Jordan are registered representatives and investment advisor representatives of Securian Financial Services, Inc., securities dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Shoemaker Financial is independently owned and operated.
Helping you make the most of your money. This has been Talk Money with Jim Shoemaker on News Talk 98.9.